can be seated.
If you have your Bibles today, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we'll be there again today. And we're going to be talking here today about who's in your boat. This is a story about Jesus, and he goes to with his disciples, and Jesus is wore out. He is tired. He has been teaching, and a lot of people have been there, and he's been around the crowds for some time now, and he was exhausted, and he says to his disciples in this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 8, and beginning with verse 22, listen to what the Word of God says. And as we read God's Word, it says, One day he and his disciples got into the boat, and he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." I think that's pretty significant. He said, "Let's cross over. We're going to go here, and we're going to go over there." How many has been around Houghton Lake before? How many has been over to Houghton Lake? Houghton Lake is about the size of the Sea of Galilee. They're about similar in size there of Houghton Lake and the Sea of Galilee. And so he said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." And so they set out. And as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake, and they were being swamped and were in danger. And they came and they woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to die. Master, Master, we're going to die here." Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. So they ceased and there was a calm. Then he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, asking one another, "Who can this be? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him." Who can this be? Who's in your boat? Who is in your boat? You see, Jesus and his disciples here, that they were on one side around Capernaum, and no doubt this is where Peter and James and John still owned their boats. They still had possession of their boats, and so Jesus said, "Okay, now we're going to go across the lake, and we're going to go over to the other side of the lake. We're going to go to the Gadarene. We're going to go over to the other side." And so here's some significance. Who's in your boat? My challenge would be that Jesus be in your boat. That Jesus be in your boat. Because Jesus got in the disciples' boat that day. Who is in your boat? I hope Jesus is in your boat. Now, when you're thinking of a boat and this in this situation, it was a physical boat that Jesus got into. It was a physical boat that Jesus got into it, and they had sails in the boat, so there was a sailboat, and there was evidently a place that was kind of a that Jesus could get into down below the deck, and that's where he was. It was not a huge lake, okay, but it was not a huge boat, and so Jesus got in there and into the boat, and when he got into the boat, he said, "Let's go to the other side." So in Jesus' mind, he was already a done deal. He was going to be on the other side. But when I'm asking you today, who's in your boat? I'm not talking about a physical boat. Now, if you have a physical boat, you ought to take Jesus sailing every once in a while. you ought to take him out fishing sometime. Isn't that right, Bruce? He'll even tell you where to fish. He'll even tell you where to go when you go fishing. And he always catches fish. You may toil all night, but he'll catch fish. And so, but that's not what we're talking about today, fishing. We're talking about being in the boat. Having Jesus in our life. That's what I mean. I want to ask you today, is Jesus in your life? Is he in your life in a reality way? We live in a day of reality TV. And getting ready to kick off a new season of The Biggest Loser. I thought about applying for that one. and trying to get on there with one of my preacher friends. I think they need to clean up their language, and I thought it'd be a good opportunity to go help, but I didn't go ahead and apply. And reality TV, there's a reality show about everything anymore. Have y'all noticed that? There's a reality show about everything. I mean, there's the reality show about modeling. There's a reality show about the Biggest Loser. And there's a reality show pretty well about anything that you want to. America's Got Talent. Anybody watch that America's Got Talent? We got a couple. I watched the chicken catcher win the last time. America's Got Talent. Now, who would figure in America that a chicken catcher could sing like that? I bet he'll not be looking for a job for a while, huh? A laid-off chicken catcher at that. In reality TV, but in reality in your life, in total reality, is Jesus in your life? Is He there to the point that if you need Him, you can go wake Him up? Well, you don't have to worry about it. He don't sleep anymore. He's there, every present, for every situation that you're going to face in life if He's in your boat. If He's not in your boat, I want you to know you can invite Him to be in your boat today. You can invite Him to be in your life today. Right now, this day, you can ask Jesus Christ to come in and be Lord of your life. You can allow Him to come in and take up residence, and He will be, figuratively speaking, in reality, in your life and in your boat. This weekend, I was over at Bambi Lake and speaking to a group of men from Cedar Street down around Lansing. And as I was there, and I shared the importance of landmines that leave you lame. I talked about landmines that we have in our life. And the greatest landmine that I believe that we have in our life is broken relationships. I believe that, you know, I could have talked to him about all kinds of sexual sin and about pornography, and I did mention that. And Lucas yesterday afternoon spoke a little bit even more about that than what I did. But I could have dealt with all those things. Folks, I really believe one of the biggest landmines that we have in our life is a broken relationship. It began with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and man is separated from God. Man is totally separated from God without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, man is separated, but God made a way through Jesus Christ. One of the greatest illustrations and greatest ways that I use a lot of times in sharing the gospel with people is taking a piece of paper and saying, you know, up here represents God, and down here represents you, and this paper is a separation. And you try all you want to get to a holy God, but you don't make it. There's no way on your own that you'll ever make it on your own to be able to be acceptable by God, because there's a sin separation. But what Jesus Christ came to do is He came down, and I poked my finger through that piece of paper, and He came down to us. He came down to us so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that He could abide in our life. So that He could come and be inside of us every single day, every single moment. Jesus can be in your life, and He can be in your boat. We find here in this passage of Scripture, not only is He said Jesus got in the boat with Him, and He laid down, and He took a nap. He took a rest, go to the other side. How long it was going to take Him to sail across the sea, I don't know. I guess it depends on a lot of factors, how long it would take them to go across there. They also had oars in the boat that the wind wasn't working out quite right, they could row the boat. They didn't have an outboard or a trolling motor. And so they had to use what they had at the time. And I don't know how long it was going to take them to get across, but there's one thing that would happen in the Sea of Galilee. And it happened quite frequently because of the way it was designed, because of the wind currents coming off the mountains, and would come and kind of sweep through the valley, and a storm could come up on the Sea of Galilee like that. I mean, just instantaneously, you know, it'd be a pretty sunny day, looking like a great day to go sailing, a great day to go to the other side, and almost instantaneously, there'd be a storm come upon the sea. And it would happen almost without warning. It would happen really, really quick. that storm would blow in. And evidently, there wasn't too much of a storm when Jesus got in a boat. And they began to sail across the sea. But in the midst of somewhere in their journey to the Gadarene, somewhere along the journey, a storm came up. And the storm was bad. If I'm in a boat and it's taking on water and it's rocking and reeling, I'm going to get sick from motion sickness. But they was taking on some water really quick. And it says that they was about ready to be swamped. How many's ever been in a boat getting swamped? You know, I've been the bailer a few times in a boat. Haven't I, Luke? I'm thinking of a couple of times that me and Luke was out, and I think the water was coming in about as fast as we could bail it out. Not a real fun place to be, of getting swamped. And the waves were beating against the boat, and it was about ready to topple. It was about ready to sink, and Jesus was still sleeping. Let me ask you a question. In your life, is there times in your life when Jesus is in your boat and you feel like you're still sinking? Okay, that was a southern term, sinking. Do you ever feel like that? Can I ask you, have you ever felt like that? Then you know when Jesus is in your boat and you know that you feel like you're about ready to drown, and yet he's still, where's he at? What are you doing, Lord? Does ever feel like that? Let's be honest. Okay, thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one like that. You see, the storms that come in your life may not be a windstorm and a raging storm. It may not be that way, but I want to tell you what, if it is a windstorm and a thunderstorm or a tornado, God can sustain you even through that. God can sustain you through that. I know I've been there. I remember one time I was working in the field and I was listening to the radio and I wanted to finish up the field that I was in. And we had come up in the world. We had a radio on our tractor. And I was listening to that radio and I heard, and it was WMCL. You never heard of it. And it was a AM station. That kind of dates myself even at that. And I was listening, and knew that the storm had hit at McLeansboro, and it was a bad storm. But I was going to finish. I was not going to have to go back to the field. I was going to finish. And this is, again, a long time ago. And I stayed in that field, and it was the wind. You ever been in a storm, a bad storm, and the wind gets there before the rain and the hail and all the other stuff does? The winds, that cool wind kind of blew through there. And I said, I'm in trouble. I'm not going to make it back to the house. I am not going to make it back to the house. And I was in a tractor without a cab on it. And I said, I'm going to be in trouble. God, would you please let me make it to the house? I was thinking about what I was going to do if I didn't make it to the house. And so I pulled out of the field. I kicked it in high gear. And man, I was just making tracks down the road. And I had topped the first hill. And when I topped the first hill, there was my brother coming. And I'm going to tell you what. God didn't provide me and let me make it back to the house. But I got off the tractor, pulled it into another field and got off. And just as I got in the vehicle, just as I got in the truck, the wind hit and it was blowing sideways. It hailed and it blew so hard that it was blowing water through the seal of the door of the pickup that we were in. And I was thankful to be inside the security of the truck. God didn't provide and let me make it back to the house, but he did provide somewhere for me to get out of the rain and the hail and the storm. And I want you to know, in your life, God today knows the storm that's raging. We're living in a day when there's lots of storms. Not physical storms like I just spoke of, but there are storms of financial storms. Of financial storms that you're saying, man, God, I know you're in my boat, but would you please show up? Would you please wake up and help me? There's storms in your life dealing with emotions. The storm that's raging on the inside of you, and you're saying, oh, Lord, I've got this storm raging inside of me, and no matter what I do, it doesn't seem like it's going out. One of the landmines that I spoke about yesterday was a landmine of an inner rage. I believe that there's a lot of people that deal with the inner rage on the inside of them. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is there to help you overcome the inner rage that's going on inside of you. He can come and take that rage. And sometimes you're mad and you don't even know what you're mad about. You're in a rage and you're so angry and you don't even know why you're angry. But you're raging on the inside and Jesus is saying, hey, I'm ready. I'm waiting to calm your storm of that inner rage, that inner turmoil. Maybe your rage today is not, maybe your storm today is not financial. Maybe it's not the inner rage. Maybe your storm today is a relationship and you've been doing your dead level best to fix it and you can't. I serve a God today that can calm that storm. I serve a God today that can come into that relationship that you think is falling apart and there's no help to fix it. Jesus Christ is the fixer. He can fix it for you today. He can allow you and him and whoever else is to work through whatever relationship storm you have going on right now. And you know, those storms can be hidden on the inside. Just like the storm that was on the Sea of Galilee, when they got ready to get in the boat and head to the other side, you couldn't see it. It was not visible. But when it popped up over the mountain, it was there and it was on them right now. It was there and it was quick. It was there and it hurt. And maybe that storm in your life, it just boom and it's there. God is also there. Who's in your boat? Jesus is there to give you what you need. Maybe your storm today is fear. That you're afraid. And you're afraid that you're afraid. Maybe it's the fear that's dwelling inside of you. I want you to know today, Jesus is there to calm the storm. As you look in today in our world, what's going on around us with all the financial turmoil, with all the turmoil that our country is in, is there any hope? And I just want you to know there's not much hope in the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party. The hope is not in politics. The hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. The hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. But folks, we can go through life on our own, trying to drag our own burdens, and we'll be like the disciples, feel like we're sinking. When all along, all they had to do was wake up Jesus. All they had to do was turn to him. And quite honestly, it says here when they woke Jesus up, Jesus got up. He came up to the top of the boat. And he said to the storm, quit. He said to the storm, peace. Be still. He said to the storm, stop. And it stopped. And Jesus said to his disciples, where is your faith? They ceased and were calm And he said, where is your faith? I want you to know today, when the storms are raging in your life, you can trust him. You can put your faith in him to get you through whatever it may be. I know I've been there, but I want you to know sometimes, even though I've been there, it's still hard to operate on faith, because operating on faith is not natural. It's not natural. It's tough. But he said to his disciples, where is your faith? And they wondered. They were fearful and amazed, asking one another, who can this be? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. Who can this be? Who is in your boat? Who can this be? Well, I tell you, my brothers and my sisters, this was God. Who can this be? Even his disciples who were walking with him did not fully comprehend the fact that the God of the universe was in their boat. That the God who spoke and this world came into existence was there. Sure, he can handle the storms. Sure, he can say stop and the storms stop. Sure, he can say be calm and it is calm, because he's God. But they had to operate on the basis of faith, of believing him. So, what kind of storms do you have raging today? What kind of storms do you have raging in your life right now? Do you realize that you have Jesus in your boat? Do you realize that you have Jesus in your life? That you can go to him right now. Right now. He is the Lord over your storms. Here's what I'll do. Is I will try to work and work and work and work and work and work. And try to figure out my storms. And I'll bail and I'll bail and I'll bail and I'll bail. And there's still more water coming in, more water coming in, more water coming in. And finally, I'm ready to abandon ship. Finally, I'm ready to say, I can't do it no more. I'm tired. I've bailed till I can't bail anymore. Jesus, would you come and help? And what Jesus is saying, I've been waiting for you to get there. I've been watching you bail like crazy. Now trust me. Now trust me. Now believe. Have faith. And then you can experience the calm. And I also want you to know something else. Sometimes you still may be at sea. But Jesus can get you through. Sometimes he doesn't remove all the obstacles, but he gives you what you need to get to the other side. In his mind, it was a done deal. I'm going to the other side. In your mind right now, you're thinking, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Trust him. You can. Stand with me this morning. Father, as I preach to the congregation that you have given to me today, I am firmly aware that I had one finger pointing at them and three pointing back at me. Because God, there's so many times that I've tried to bail when you said, trust me. Have faith that I'll see you through. It's within my nature to try to fix things on my own. And God, I know I can't. I can only trust you. Lord, I don't know what you want to do in this time that we're going to be gathered here for the rest of this service today. But I do know this, that you have power over any storm that anybody here is facing right now, including me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing in just a moment. I just